Hello, everybody, and welcome to East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And I'm Nick. Hey, Rob, just going to ask the practical question. Are we going to do Stonehenge today?
No, we're not going to fucking do Stonehenge.
Today, we need it. We need it today. There's no good news anymore.
There is
Roger Stone, free man, walking around. No, we're not talking about that today. What are we talking about today, Rob?
All right. We're gonna talk about baseball.
I like to throw my knuckleball in every once in a while. You're welcome.
You're going to throw meatballs today. We're talking about baseball. Baseball.
All right. One of my favorite topics.
What the hell is going on?
Okay. So here's the thing, right? I don't like Yankees. I never have. I'm a put together person. I'm reasonable. Of course, I wouldn't like the Yankees. That's ridiculous. But the Yankees seem to have an epidemic on their hand. I think their bubble is infected and something's going wrong there. Chapman now tests positive. That adds to Luis Sessa, a potential starter for them, and DJ LeMahieu, right? Who is still in quarantine protocol, right? So that's three positives so far. And I don't know what's happening in baseball. A lot of people opting out. Michael Kopech, one of my future stars of the American League here, opts out. And I started to ask myself, like, well, who's already opted out? Mike Trout has been flirting with it. Now, if you lose Mike Trout, now it's getting weird, man. So I have two questions. One, do you want to know who opted out? Because I have a list and it's weird. And two, should we even be playing this season at all? Should we just like put the kibosh in it? Should we wait till we have a new a commissioner? Because that guy sucks.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, Yankees suck. All right. Yankees suck. I'm just getting
that goes without saying.
Manfred sucks.
That now goes without saying. I think I was indifferent on that guy for a while, but that's just like JD Drew. That's a guy in baseball that doesn't like baseball. I don't get it.
You know what? I'm Big Poppy for baseball commissioner. Big Poppy.
Let's do it. What can we not have like an owner or like a lawyer? Can we have like a player?
We need one. I mean, just get rid of Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken. I like that choice.
Somebody who's dedicated their life to baseball.
Even somebody I hate, like Lasorda, or not Lasorda, Tony La Russa, I think would be a better candidate, actually. I think somebody like Tony La Russa, who I've never liked, he would make a better commissioner than what we have now. You need somebody in the game because you have to value tradition, but you also have to like the game and root for the game and want it to succeed. You can't just be like, oh yeah, we're going to lose too much money. Let's just not play. You're already losing fans. You have to have someone who cares about this stuff. And I don't think Manfred is that guy.
All right. You want to really throw a wrench into the system? The fans should vote Pete Rose in as baseball commissioner.
I thought about you the other day. I was on a message board or something. I can't even remember where it was, what platform. But somebody was showing somebody had a number where, like, if so-and-so hit 200 hits for 20 years, they wouldn't have as many hits as Pete Rose. And I responded, but so-and-so didn't bet on baseball, lie about it for years and years, and then finally tell partial truth when he wanted to sell a book. And I said, look, I'm all for Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame, but he's still an asshole, and you still got to put it on the plaque.
But forget all that.
Well, it's relevant, right? If we're talking about banging trash cans and deflated balls, what Pete Rose did is relevant.
Think about it, though. I mean, as commissioner, he can pardon himself, you know, like some other certain people like to pardon other people.
Listen, elections have consequences. What can you do, right? How about let me give you the list of people who opted out, and let me ask you if it makes you nervous, because they're not like the biggest names in the world. Obviously, if Trout opts out, that's a big deal. But some of these other players, like, it does impact certainly fantasy sports, which I play, but also, like, you know, these teams. Mike Leake, Diamondbacks pitcher, I thought he would have a reasonable season with the D-backs, kind of a deep rotation there, opts out. Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross from the Nationals. Ian Desmond from the Rockies, he's had a couple of down years. Tyson Ross, a free agent. I kind of thought the Red Sox might kick the tires on him, but doesn't look like it now. Wellington Castillo from the Nats also. We know about David Price. We're not going to talk about that guy again. King Felix for the Braves could have contributed. Nick Markakis for the Braves, obviously. That's a huge loss for them. And Buster Posey, you know, the last of the big names, sort of. He's been, you know, a couple down years, but still a big part of that Giants team that, you know, I think is something of a sleeper team. That's a pretty good list, and it's growing. And then add the list of people who have tested positive, like Aroldis Chapman, like DJ LeMahieu, and some others. It's getting weird, right? What is the tipping point? How many players need to opt out before baseball says, you know what, let's just tank the season, we're not doing it?
When the big, big name players start saying they don't feel safe and start opting out, that's when you should worry.
Who is that, Rob? Who is that? Is that Mike Trout? Is that the one? Because I feel like if Mike Trout said I'm gone, I still don't think they'll cancel it. Not at this moment, anyway. Not with that commissioner.
I think Mike Trout mostly is based on what Mrs. Trout says. So whatever she says,
she's pregnant. I mean, I get it. It's not like I'm arguing the point. Like, you should have the opportunity to opt out if you want to, if you don't feel safe. I totally agree with that. But you're the face of baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder, like, we all have to be somewhat reasonable looking at it from the outside in, but they want to have a season, right? And, you know, if Mike Trout opts out, I feel like you got to take that as maybe 60 games isn't worth it.
I don't think it is at this point either. They should just kibosh the whole thing. Can I just say,
we love baseball, right, Rob? We are fans of the game. I'm watching Spanish soccer. You know, it's weird. I don't want to watch Spanish or Italian soccer. I want to watch American baseball because that's my favorite sport. But at the same time, I don't want a watered down, nonsensical product that's poorly managed and ill-conceived because their commissioner is an idiot that doesn't like the game.
Well, if you're watching Spanish soccer, then obviously there's no more cornhole tournaments on ESPN. So,
you know what? Cornhole's better. I'm not going to lie. I really try for soccer. I'm trying, man, but I'll take cornhole over soccer. This is just nonsense.
I guess you have to play it to appreciate it.
I guess.
I mean, when the,
I don't have the wind in me to run back and forth that much, chasing nothing.
What? And the most exciting thing when you're watching a soccer game in America as an American is to hear the guy yell out, "Goal!" I guess, yeah.
It happens once a game. So, I mean, you got to get excited when it happens. This game is Parma versus Bologna 0-2. So Bologna's crushing right now, 2-0. It's a blowout.
Bologna is beating salami.
Liverwurst Genoa salami up next. We might have to edit that out. I don't know if that's kosher. I don't know if that's acceptable.
No, that's not kosher. You just, well, right. Wait a minute, it's beef.
Always funny, always entertaining. So, okay, Rob, so tell me this. Let me ask the practical question, all right? The practical question is, Mike Trout, Mookie Betts both say, I'm not playing this shortened season. Do you cancel the season if you're the commissioner? Yes or no?
If you're taking out the big name players and the players that people want to see, I guess it would be the smart thing to do. Play a double season next year. Play 322 freaking games next year. I don't care.
Not going to bother me. Let me ask you this question then. If they don't cancel the season, no Trout, no Mookie, maybe no Strasburg, maybe no Bumgarner, I don't know, pick a few names, would you still watch? That's the next question.
I don't know what really I would want to – I'm going to be seeing here. I mean, they're playing in their home stadiums. A lot of those schedules are lopsided.
The schedules are shitty, but again, the bar is so weird. I hesitate to really criticize given, like, the geography and – you know, they're making an effort to try to keep it safe. Not everything they're doing is awful here. So, you know, so we play in Yankee Stadium more than Fenway. Do I like it? No. Do I care that much? I don't know.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. Are there going to be people in the stands? Are they going to be masked people in the stands?
I don't think so. I mean, from the last time, the couple episodes ago when we broke it down, it's basically going to be other players, the bullpen guys, the non-starters from the other days. Some of the training staff, all tested. That's it. And even those folks will be spaced out, possibly spouses and things like that, people in the bubble. No fans. As I understand it, there are going to be no fans there.
So let's just say something. You know, they start the season and say the Dodgers are playing the D-backs. right? And Mookie Betts has an off day.
I don't know, I've always thought the nickname D-backs, it's a little weird.
I said backs, not bags.
Oh, okay. I've been to that stadium. It's not bad. It's cold, air conditioned.
Let's say Mookie Betts is out in center field, and I'm not saying playing center field. I'm like talking. He's sitting in the center field
benches. Hanging out out there.
Right? And he wants some
crunches. Practicing his bowling methods.
He gets a little hungry. He wants some crunch and munch, but the crunch and munch guy is
crunch and munch.
So you remember the Crunchy Munch guy is at the first baseline, and he's given David Price like a hot dog, you know, or whatever. This Mookie Betts.
David Price does not eat hot dogs. Come on, don't be serious. Not with that contract. He eats like kale smoothies.
So does Mookie Betts yell to get the guy from the Crunchy Munch guy from first base to give some Crunchy Munch in center field and risk getting COVID?
Good question. I mean, a relevant question. I think probably it's like the movie theater where like you pack a bunch of Kind bars into your pockets before you go. I think you're on your own program. The hot dog guy's not in the bubble. So you're going to have to bring your own snacks.
You know what? This is the perfect opportunity for better use for the t-shirt guns. Load them with hot dogs. Just blast them out into the
stands. You know what? This is why maybe Rob needs to be commissioner of baseball. This kind of thought processes. This is what we need. We need innovation, but not a runner on second base. Hot dog guns from center field to the stands versus a friggin' runner on second base to start extra innings. That's right. Nonsense. The hot dog gun, much more sensical.
It makes more sense, right? Yeah.
let me ask you one more question, because I think, you know, as a I'm somewhat traditionalist, I'm sort of in the middle. If somebody hits 400 in a 60-game season, what does that mean? Does it mean something?
They hit 400 in a softball season.
I mean, my wiffle ball stats have me at like 425, something like that, and I feel like that counts. But like 60 games, like Larry Walker, I think hit 400 for 60 games. Tony Gwynn. There's been players that have flirted with this. And should they come out with a policy prior to the season? Shouldn't they say before it starts, we're going to asterisk the whole season as the COVID season? Because they're not really talking about it.
That's something I would probably do. I mean, what the hell is Manfred thinking with coming up with the, like, agreeing to this crap with these stupid rules with the second baseman, the person on second base and extra innings on the 100th pitch, and then, you know, whatever.
There was an interesting article, I think it was on ESPN.com over the week, I can't remember what day, and they said a bunch of National League managers came together and wrote like an open letter that said, we're going to miss the National League game, that now that they've introduced the DH in the shortened season, that we'll always have the DH in both leagues.
I'm all for that. You know what? Make me the commissioner. Everybody gets juice. Everybody gets a nice bottle of the clear. Start every inning with, you know what? Load the bases to start a game and let the pitches work for it.
Your slowest runner is always on first base to start every inning. I think, you know what? Screw it. It's better than friggin' Italian soccer. Let's do it. All right, so we're not getting anywhere with that. Let me ask you right now, if you had to predict, because we're days away practically, we're getting into like a couple weeks here, right? Do you think they'll have a season for baseball?
Only time will tell. We'll see what the hell happens. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. All right.
It's like Mitt Romney. You know, flip flop.
I would take money out of my wallet right now to bring Mitt Romney into that house. He can have my best Tom Brady rookie card. Well, my second best. I take it back. All right. So let's move on to something more positive. Something else that we're kidding ourselves about. The NFL seemingly thinks they're going to have a regular season with no interruptions because, I don't know, they know something we don't. Cam Newton, we talked about a little bit on a previous episode. I have questions about Cam Newton. The more I have thought about this, and I was, you know, excited, obviously the deal, we sort of fleeced the Bears, and, you know, Belichick played it very well. I like him. I think this is cool. It gives us something to talk about, and he's an upgrade over Stidham, who, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of. My question is not specific to the contract, not specific to Cam itself. It's more that our coach is kind of a dick. All right. And he has always been this way. And Tom Brady is kind of a dick and he's a quiet dick. So it kind of worked out for many, many years. You couldn't get Tom Brady to say much of anything unless he was doing a Facebook show. And even then it was kind of overproduced. Cam is not like that. Cam's wearing the flashy hat. Cam's putting out videos. Cam says what he wants to say pretty much all the time. Is that going to cause a problem for our greatest dynasty NFL franchise in the history of football? Are the Patriots in trouble here? Are they not factoring this in?
Well, first of all, if anybody hasn't seen it, Cam Newton came out in his first press conference dressed like a colonial.
So I was for it. I thought it was genius. Whoever works for that guy, smart. I like it. It's not Tea Party. You know, it wasn't too Tea Party-ish. I think it was smart.
All right. We'll get to contract at the end of this, but we'll just say Cam Newton wants to play football. That's his thing. He just wants
to. So you're saying he's not J.D. Drew. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right. J.D. Drew.
I'll never forget. He wants to play.
You know, like in the movie Mr. Baseball, and the chief is throwing the golf balls to Tom Selleck. And what does Tom Selleck say? I want to hit baseballs. And the chief goes, say again. I want to hit baseballs. Well, Cam Newton wants to play football.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And again, like, you know, I'm talking like outside of all that, I think it's a genius move. And I think the system, you know, in terms of the offense could really, he could benefit from Belichick. And Belichick, if Cam can run a little bit, could really benefit from Cam. So that part I understand. I just wonder if he gets benched or if he gets reprimanded or if he's told after game two and they're 2-0, you got to adhere to the Patriot way or whatever the case may be. I'm curious how that's going to go.
Well, with the fact that Cam wants to play football, Cam also wants to win. So I believe he's going to go by.
He didn't look like it in the Denver Super Bowl. But no, I agree. I mean, generally speaking, I agree with that. Yeah.
We'll talk about that Denver defense was like the Ravens defense of yore.
I'm just here to keep us honest. This isn't WEEI, you know. I just want us to be, you know, but it's a little buyer beware here. I obviously want Cam and I want it to work out. In fact, if Cam does well and we go 10-6 or 11-5 and he throws 30 touchdowns and rushes for 4, I say give him $100 million. What's the problem? I know we won't, but I would love Cam to be a longtime New England Patriot if everything works and health provided.
Well, we'll see what he can do. I mean, this may be a one and done. This could be an audition for future greatness. You never know.
Franchises potentially.
He might switch Belichick's way of coaching. I mean,
part of the genius of Belichick, and I think you would agree, is that his philosophy is essentially like in stone. But his methods and style, like he changes the defense all the time. He changes the offense consistently too. Now, we get used to the short passing game and stuff like that. But remember the Randy Moss years, you know, like it wasn't always that way. He will adapt to whatever will get him the W's. But his philosophy, like Patriot way, we all stay in line. We're one team. We come out of the tunnel as a team. This kind of thing, I don't think that's ever going to change. And I'm not so sure Cam is a perfect fit for that philosophy.
Well, I was never really a big Cam Newton fan. I just didn't see the whole, you know.
I definitely tried to trade for him in my Dynasty Fantasy Football League that I am a one-time champ a couple times. So I wouldn't say like he's in my top 3 or 4, but he'd be in my top 10 somewhere, at least when he's healthy.
You tried to trade for Cam Newton in your Diamond League, which you're a one-time champ a couple of times. What is that, correct. Like your next-door neighbor's brother, sister's cousin's roommate?
Exactly, yeah. I'm trying to give you the background. Look, my fantasy, we're going to spend a whole segment one day on my my West Coast keeper fantasy football dynasty. You know who my best player, my most productive player is in that league, and I've had him since my second year in? It's Thomas Brady, all right? And I got him straight up in a deal with no draft picks involved. Chris Johnson on the downslope for Tom Brady straight up. And I thought everybody said I got fleeced on that deal. 9 years later, one title later, he's been amazing. I have no regrets about that.
We'll see. He's become kind of a punk lately, but we'll see.
Oh, I already got the value out of it. He can do nothing this year, and it wouldn't make a difference.
So speaking of which, Cam Newton's contract basically is all incentive-laden. So this is probably what a lot of people are looking for the fantasy leagues. Is he going to give you the stats that you guys want for your fantasy teams? Is he going to be worth the shot after not really playing for almost 2 years?
If I was ranking today, and this would be under the big assumption of it's a regular football season with 16 games, I don't think I would have Cam in my top 10. I would have him just outside of the top 10 to give people some frame of reference there. But I do think it's worth mentioning when you talk about Cam's contract and the Patriots just being smart as usual with the money. And that's not even mentioning the Antonio Brown settlement, the Aaron Hernandez settlement from a few days ago, that opens up more cap space for the Patriots. Another genius move after they got Cam, just financially speaking. But regardless of that, like when you juxtapose the Cam contract with the Mahomes contract, and Mahomes, you know, I probably wouldn't argue that he's the number one quarterback in fantasy, number one quarterback possibly in the NFL. You know, this is something I think worth talking about. The Mahomes contract's not a killer this year, probably not a killer next year. But after that, it basically becomes the Joe Flacco deal, even if Mahomes is really great still, because it'll kill the franchise and their ability to sign the other players that they want to keep and keep that offense rolling. What do you think about that?
Well, only a portion of it was guaranteed. So it wasn't like a Mike Trout deal where like the whole entire contract got guaranteed. So, this was smart on behalf of the franchise looking towards the future, you know, to allow him to continue to get the weapons, drafts, trades, whatever, have a little cap space to.
Now you're talking about Cam or you're talking about the Mahomes deal?
Mahomes.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree entirely with that. I think, you know, short term, it makes sense. Long term, I mean, you know, if you're going to do it with one guy, it's hard to argue this, you know, this would probably be the guy in the NFL, but I still think they're going to come to regret it in year 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Well, if he starts to suck and, you know,
or get even hurt. If he doesn't, I think my point is, Rob, even if he doesn't, I think that he still will get that salary as he continues to play. Right. So overall with incentives, it's a $500 million contract, biggest ever, right? Guaranteed is something like the $63 million. But I think actually it's $141 guaranteed in the event of injury, which is always a possibility in the NFL also. So that versus the cap, now it doesn't take effect for this coming year. That's a pretty big deal. So we're talking he's going to play into his late 30s, stay with the franchise, but cost them more and more, certainly more and more against the cap as time goes on. So when you have to re-sign Tyreek Hill or when you have to re-sign a cornerback that you need because your defense is awful, it's going to become harder and harder as the deal goes on.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. I mean,
I don't begrudge him. I get it. He's the best in the league right now, but I still think like, you know, Brady took, even when he was the best in the league, Brady took a lot of sort of weird deals and had given some money back to free up cap space here and there. Joe Flacco did not do that. Now, Joe Flacco is not a good quarterback. That's part of the problem. But he kind of killed Baltimore for a while. It took them a while to shake off that contract.
Well, I'm not a fan of Flacco. I'm not a fan of the new guy that's in Baltimore. I don't care.
Wait, we're going to talk about this? Can we talk about this now or do we have to save this for another episode? You don't love Lamar. I got the Lamar number 9 in my Dynasty League draft. And, you know, no regrets there. Right. Come on, man.
You're looking at Lamar.
You don't like the kid?
You're looking at it as stats.
No, I think he can win. I think he's a winner.
I'm looking at it that he is one guy on the field and the other 10 guys don't mean shit to him. I seriously feel that.
There might be some of that. There might be a little of that. I think Cam has a little of that too, though. I think Aaron Rodgers has a little bit of that. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? They're all arrogant. That's part of the deal.
Aaron Rodgers is a dick. We all know that.
I mean, JD Drew thinks everybody loves him.
I don't know. I'm done with football. You done with football?
I'm done with football, but I want to have a conversation about Lamar Jackson one day. We don't have to do it today. We'll talk about it another time. What else you got, Rob?
Let's talk about someone who did the country well from back in the day. So well that they made a Broadway musical about him and with rap. I finally activated my Disney Plus that I got for free through Verizon.
Fire Stick.
Thank you for the stick.
There's, it's so versatile. You're going to get a lot of use out of it.
So, watched Hamilton like the second night that we had the stick. I mean, because I wasn't going to watch it on my phone because I'm not going to have my phone.
Yeah, I would never do that too. As a matter of fact, I will go ahead and tell you, truth be told, I had a shot here to see it in Vegas, not with the original cast, obviously. And I couldn't get in. I couldn't get tickets in time, and I couldn't get one of the nights off. So a lot of people were pressuring me to listen to it, and I refused to listen to it until I saw it. So when I got Disney Plus, I think on the 1st or 2nd, I think it was 4th of July. I watched it on the 4th of July. Shouts. And I was blown away, and I was glad I didn't know anything about it before I saw it.
I thought that was like so well written, so well acted. The performances in that were just incredible. And I have a favorite character that came out during this. I don't know if it's going to be the same as yours, but it was like hysterical every time this person came out and did their part from the original cast. The King.
King George.
King George came out.
That's the guy from Glee, Jonathan Groff or something. He crushes it, although it's a lot of spit. It's a lot of projectile spit there. And normally I wouldn't have cared, but in the time of a pandemic, it took me aback a little.
You get to admit, though, it was hysterical.
Oh, it was genius. It was genius. He's a real crowd pleaser, that one.
And now the guy that's in the Crown Royal commercials now was in that. He had two parts in that. He was one of Hamilton's cohorts, so the original Four Horsemen or whatever they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up having his name.
So Phillips Felipe So, or is that Leslie Odom? Oh, he was Aaron Burr. But yeah, I think that really all the cast, and a couple of them played multiple parts, right? The Lafayette, Thomas Jefferson, and then the buddy, and then the son. Those guys were crazy versatile, and I like that they kept it that way and didn't overcast to kind of, you know, pad the stats for the Disney production there. I actually thought, like, just for technicality awards there, it was really, really smartly shot. It was a musical and it felt like a Broadway production, but you got to see a lot. And they would sometimes be on the above shot, the side shot, and then the front shot. And, you know, I wasn't distracted at all by the fact that we were just watching somebody on stage performing. It kind of felt like a movie most of the time, which made it really work.
It did. It was like a well put together concert when your favorite band does a concert video.
Yeah, kind of like a produced concert video. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, hands down, standing ovation for the production crew of the video of that.
So let me ask you this question, because I know you're a music nerd a little bit like I am. Do you have it downloaded? Are you streaming it? Are you listening to it? Are you going to buy the album?
No, I won't do that.
I downloaded it and I've listened to it a few times. So far, I don't go to it right away, but I think it's worthwhile.
In this day and age, since I stopped doing my mobile DJing, I haven't downloaded anything as far as music goes. You know.
Well, when you're as good as you, you just listen to yourself. You just sing it out, man. The $10 founding father without a father. I mean, you just let it roll, baby.
Let me tell you a little funny story about that. A friend of mine.
You do it your way.
Yeah, I do it my way. A friend of mine was telling her son. Her son wanted to know why Hamilton was on a $10 bill. And she said to him, "Oh, it's because he was the 10th president of the United States." And I'm looking at her going, "What? He wasn't the 10th president of the United States. He was the treasurer. He never was."
Yeah, I think people do not know history, and they do not know civics. And I was a history major in college, and I am always baffled. And I am always enamored by the quote that if we don't learn our history, we are doomed to repeat it. Clearly, nobody knows. Nobody cares. And even Hamilton is not 100% historically accurate, but there are a lot of relevant lessons there. And I'm glad Disney released it, especially at this time, because you got to take notes, people. I will say I was a little bit offended that John Adams kind of got the shaft in it. Not that he was the greatest, but like, come on, John Adams, it's kind of a big deal.
He was the laughingstock of that. What do you mean it wasn't historically accurate? They didn't rap back then?
No, they definitely did. Oh, they definitely did.
I mean, hear ye, hear ye.
I thought there was a decent amount of emotion there. Was there emotion there toward the end for you? Did it bring you to tears?
It did. But
wow.
Then,
shouts.
As I'm watching it, though, he came out and did a curtain call. So I know he wasn't really dead. So I guess that was a good thing.
Or was he? First of all, you know, fatherly advice. Okay, you tell your son to shoot up in the air, it doesn't work out. I mean, you got to learn lessons. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take notes also, Hamilton.
Yeah, shoot up in the air, and the gravity will take the bullet down and get the guy in the back of the head.
I will say, like, a lot of pride in the founding fathers. And, you know, sometimes history doesn't always capture that. It's weird that a rap musical probably got it more accurate than, you know, David McCullough or somebody like that, those famous historians. We always want to make them so heroic. And yes, they are heroic, but you can be heroic and an egomaniac at the same time. And I think maybe this is the first time that we've captured that correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend, if you have Disney Plus, and you're fiddling through there and you think there's nothing to watch, watch Hamilton.
That's, I agree. 3 hours. Did you feel like it went too long?
No. I
don't think so either.
When something has my attention, it doesn't feel like I've been watching it for the actual amount of time it's been on. So when a movie, a TV show, or anything can do that to me, that's why I continue watching them.
I've always said, like, if your story takes 5 hours to tell, tell a 5-hour story. Hamilton, I probably would have been fine for another couple hours. I think that it never got old and it captured my attention the whole time. And it was something really cool to watch on 4th of July. If you're a Verizon person, you get Disney Plus for a year, right? Still free. So future sponsor of the show, Verizon, you know, make sure that you utilize that that free package they give you.
I'll work on trying to get them as a...
All right, what else you got, Rob? What else do you got?
You know what? During this pandemic time, I decided to, you know, reach out to other states, other areas, and order their foods from there. And this week I got some mini cheesecakes from Junior's Cheesecake out of Brooklyn, New York.
And this is a world-renowned cheesecake place, correct?
World-renowned cheesecake place. There is a Junior's Cheesecake in the Mohegan Sun casino. I believe there's a few other casinos in that chain of area there that has these in them. But I got it directly from the actual Junior's itself in Brooklyn. Little mini cheesecakes. It's like a little slice of heaven in your mouth when you have some of these.
Yeah, I think I saw some of the food porn pictures and it looked amazing. And, you know, my wife's a big cheesecake person. It's tempting. So what's the cost breakdown for a couple of these things?
Okay. I ended up getting the mini cheesecakes, a dozen of each. So we're looking at, it was like about 70, 80 bucks, something.
That's not outrageous, actually. That's pretty reasonable. Comes frozen to you, delivered?
Yeah, it comes in... a dry ice little container, cooler that you get to keep.
How's the defrost situation? Is it defrost okay? Because I always occasionally, like, so far so good with anything that I've ordered, but I always worry, like, if you defrost, you lose some of it. Does you have that problem?
They don't actually come frozen. They come with the dry ice. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you get them and they're warm, you have to, put them in the refrigerator and cool them up. But, let me tell you what was in this. A double chocolate cheesecake. And we're talking like dark chocolate. So if you like dark chocolate, and this little mini cheesecake was the right portion size.
I think this segment is going to make Mike Trout opt out and just put on 20 pounds.
Well, Mike Trout, do you like lemon? Because there was a lemon coconut layer cake in there, too.
Oh, love lemon. This is good. Taking notes now.
Like a little lemon cake. Not necessarily a cheesecake, but...
Oh, like a bundt cake?
No, like a little, like a layered lemon coconut cake.
Interesting.
Nice little sponge, and then the lemon curd, and on top, the frosting with the shredded coconut on it. And then there was a raspberry swirl cheesecake, which was, there's real raspberry in the...
That's generally my go-to, like a raspberry swirl, or occasionally like not chocolate, but chocolate on top of it or something like that.
And then, of course, the plain faint, the plain ones.
Yeah.
The plain,
well, you got it. That's the base. That's the marinara sauce. That's what you judge them on first.
That's right.
So would you get it again? I mean, is it that good?
I would. You know, when people are looking for stuff for Christmas and they want us to bring something to, you know, when we're allowed out again, I'll probably order those and bring those along. As far as I'm going to base this on the scale of the pizzas, I'd say the cheesecakes were a 9.9 out of 10.
Wow, that's high. That's like Shawshank Redemption territory. So where did you get them from? Can you give us the website? Is it juniorscheesecake.com?
Or did you go directly from there? Or there's a brand new website which popped up called Goldbelly.
Oh, Goldbelly. Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah. Future sponsor of East to West with Nick and Rob, Goldbelly.
Yes. And let me tell you, they have foods from all over the planet, literally. Well, United States, more or less. But if you're in Vegas and you want some chowder, you can order from here and have it shipped to there.
We might be doing that segment next week.
Unless you want me to come out there and make you my chowder.
I mean, I'm good for that, too. I got a spare bedroom. We can hook two mics up. It's not a problem. Yeah, although I wouldn't want to fly right now.
No, I'm not gonna
I don't have anything great on the food side, but I will say I'm a week and a half into Freshly.com, more of the low scale, less international sensation, but still decent. I work a lot. I don't cook as much as I would like to. I will say that I'm 3 for 3 on the meals. I like the chicken parm. I like the Swedish meatball, and I like the tiki masala quite a bit. You know, does it blow you away? No. Is it cost efficient? Probably not super, super great. But we're going to go a couple more weeks and see how it goes.
Now, I saw you sent me the pictures, and I had to show my wife one of them because I'm like looking at it going, what is this?
Chicken parm. You can criticize my chicken parm.
Chicken parm.
But I don't have time to make chicken parm. So factoring that in, it was pretty good. It wasn't bad.
Chicken parm doesn't take that long to make.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
get some breasts. You pound them out.
I don't have time to pound breasts. There's not enough time for that.
There's always time to pound a breast.
Boom. All right. What else we got? We can't do any more food because I'm hungry and we still have a little bit more pod to go. So what are we closing with today? Give me something exciting.
All right. We all know that Hollywood right now doesn't have an original thought in their heads anymore.
Hollywood, yeah, they may be as bad as Rob Manford.
So let's talk about some remakes or reboots or whatever it is that Hollywood is calling them now.
And reimaginings?
I want to do The Running Man.
Yeah, all right. I could see The Running Man. Running Man is, okay, so my bar for a reboot or a reimagining or whatever you want to call it has always been the same, right? If the original is still good, why do it? Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. But
so I think the original Running Man is still pretty good. I mean, I don't think it's bad. I would still watch it.
The reason why I want to redo this, when you look at the original Running Man, and it is a very good movie, it, however, is supposed to be set in the future. However, we are the future right now.
We are the future.
And I think that we can redo it and add a few more tricks to it as far as some CGI.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think, like, for the most part, that was Paul Glazer who did it. It's a Stephen King story. There is stuff in there that you could improve in terms of technology now, visual technology. So for that purpose, yeah, I think this one fits the bill if you want to do it. So how are you going to do it? Who's going to be Ben in the – who's going to be Captain Freedom? I mean, who are we casting here?
Okay. Ben Richards is going to have to be, and I'm going to go all wrestling on you on this. To a
point. I'm shocked.
Because these are the only guys. Well, because if you look at the cast,
Mr. Perfect could have been great. Kurt Hennig, unfortunately, rest in peace.
So Ben Richards is going to be The Rock. Dwayne Johnson is going to play Ben Richards. Only one who can play this part.
All right. I'll allow it.
Okay. Now, you said Captain Freedom, originally played by Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse the Body. All former right. governor of Minnesota.
Yep. Independent.
That's real life.
So, you need another wrestler who is acting. And there's two that you can use. You can either go for a cheese factor and put the Miz in there, Mike Mizanin, who's played in the Marine and
whatever. Yeah. I don't love it. I don't think he's ready for that.
He's not a good choice, but I would put John Cena in that part of.
I'm with you. I think Cena versus The Rock, anyway, it's going to get people to the theater. So I think that's a no brainer. If you're going to go wrestling, that's the way to go. What about Fireball? Because that was the Jim Brown, the legend. You got to have someone with some clout there. You have to have somebody, maybe an older wrestler.
No, well, I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna go with Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, that's different. Okay. All right. Well, he got the chops. I'm okay with that. Bring the Black Panther in.
That's right.
All right. I can see it. I mean, he's going to have to bulk up a little bit. He's got to get a little bigger because you got to be standing next to The Rock and you're going to be standing next to John Cena.
Well, Fireball wasn't that big.
He was pretty big. I don't remember. It's been a minute, but yeah. I mean, bigger than Chadwick Boseman anyway.
Yeah. But he had that awful ugly tank on his back, so that made him look bigger than he was.
Can we get... can we get somebody from Fleetwood Mac in there?
Well, he could be the guy that is in the underground. I mean, he's still around. We'll bring him back. We'll have an original cast.
Who's the Dweezil Zappa part? Who's going to play that part?
Adam Scott.
I mean, how deep do you want to go here?
Adam Scott.
Oh, yeah. Adam that's Scott genius. Oh, that's Scott. Genius. I love that. Okay. All right. Well done. All right, well, I'm for this. Now, let me ask you a practical question here. Who is going to direct this movie? Because there has to be somebody kind of off the wall. Because it can't be a straight and narrow movie. It's got to be a little weird.
Going to be a little weird. Going to bring a little bit of humor to it. Who directs this?
Well, I don't want to see David Fincher's running man. Maybe like Baz Luhrmann or like Tim Burton. Tim Burton?
Tim Burton would be a good choice.
That might work.
Yeah, we definitely don't want Michael Bay. I don't want 8,000 explosions in the first 22 seconds.
No, please God, no.
So now we're going to go to the most important part of this movie. Killian, played fantastically by Richard Dawson.
Yep.
Is the evil game show host.
You got to have charisma there. That's tough.
I have the guy that's going to play that part.
All right.
He does kind of host a game show. He has hosted other shows.
Don't say Keegan-Michael Key or whatever.
No. Somebody who's just as tall, though.
Okay, a tall game show host. All right.
And this guy plays an asshole great. Joel McHale.
Oh, I kind of like it. All right, I'll allow it. All right, I'm into it. He was kind of playing the in the X-Files comeback. He played like the weird... Bill O'Reilly slash was that crazy guy that on
the conspiracy theory guy.
Yeah, like Alex Jones. He was kind of like that character for a little while. They didn't give him enough run, but he was pretty good there. So I think you bring that same mentality to this, that could work. I'm okay with it. I want to see this movie. I'll pay money to see this movie.
It'd be good, right?
Executive
producer, Rob here from East to West with Nick and Rob.
Rob from East to West with Nick and Rob.
Yep. And you want an executive producer on that?
I'm going to write the screenplay. What are you talking about?
Okay, you go for it.
I'm already halfway through.
Just don't use the same, you have to make some changes here and there.
Well, I'll be flexible.
We didn't pick the girl.
I mean, if you pay me enough, I'll be flexible.
Who's going to play Ben's lover?
Yeah, there has to be. I'm not sure about the lead. I think Tessa Thompson? I don't know. I think we got to get somebody. Who was in that? It was
Maria?
I'm trying to think of the actress. Maria Alonso, I think, was her name. Yeah, she's been around. 80s actress. I think. I don't know. I like Tessa Thompson. I kind of like Tessa Thompson. I think somebody a little bit young, a little bit edgy. I kind of like it.
We need someone a little hot. Like really.
She's hot, man. Who else? Who else could do it? Maybe Wonder Woman, Gail Gadot.
Ooh, that would be good.
That's not bad, right? Already been in the Fast and the Furious movies, got some chops there. Was Wonder Woman, for Christ's sake? I think that could work.
What about? Oh, who's the Spanish girl? You saw Death Wish, right?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, what's that lady's name? Michelle Rodriguez. Who was in Death Wish?
I think, is that her? Was it Michelle?
I can't remember. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yes, I think somebody in that sort of vein would work. And then you got to maybe make that part a little bit better. Maybe Tessa Thompson plays Fireball. You change it up a little bit.
Put a female in there as a stalker.
Yeah, right. I think
Eddie Witowski there, whatever his name was, Chainsaw, Buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think this could work. I think this is a winner. This is the rare winner reboot where the original is still good, but there's enough room there to grow that we should reboot this thing. Not unnecessarily, because we have technology and we have a different vision, and I think it would work out. It would get guys to the theater.
We're going to make it a comedy, too, so we have to,
Well, McHale's there. I mean, and The Rock has legit comic chops. John Cena a little bit, too.
So what about this? You know, remember Dynamo, the guy that rode around in the car, and he was the opera singer, and he had all those lights on him blinking?
Yeah, nonsense.
Okay, because I really hated that part in the original movie. I want to put Adam Sandler in that part as Opera Man.
He won't do it. Dynamo.
And in the first,
he's swimming in Netflix money. He won't do it. You'd have to get that's the part for I don't know. I'm trying to think who would be legit there. I think.
So who do you think? Who do you think goes in there?
If it's me, I'm putting I'm trying to think of somebody that could play like offbeat where you wouldn't necessarily think of him in a weird role like that. I would put like serious Tom Hardy in it. The ironic nature of that would be friggin' genius.
Okay, all right, we'll go with it. You're right.
You know what I mean? If you're gonna be weird, be weird. You know, don't back down. Just go for it, man.
I know. You don't like guys that play themselves in movies.
Yeah, come on, man. Mick Fleetwood. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need Mick Fleetwood. We can Lindsey Buckingham. Let's put Lindsey Buckingham in there.
Adam Levine. We'll have Adam Levine.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Yeah, he would definitely be showing his very many tattoos in, like, a tank top of some sort. Yeah, that could work. The ladies love Adam Levine.
$3,000 shirt with a bunch of moth holes in it.
Right. I like Maroon 5's first album. I'll end there.
The songs about Jane.
Yes.
That album had so much airplay for the first 3 years of its existence.
The first song, right, Harder to Breathe, was like 3 years before the next one, and then it exploded after the next one. It was really weird.
Right. That goes down as one of the greatest albums of all time.
Probably right. You're probably right about that, yeah.
We'll talk about
that. It's weird to say that out loud about Maroon 5, but you're probably right.
So, is there anything you want to remake, reboot?
Okay, I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but I'm going to give you a weird one, right? Okay, I'm going to give you two, actually. I'm going to give you one that's kind of obvious that I think you don't necessarily have to reboot entirely. You maybe don't have to use the same name, but I want this kind of movie again when theaters open back up. I want to see another Usual Suspects because we haven't had something quite like that and work that efficiently in a while. So that's number one. Now, if you want to dig deep and go back a little bit, there's a movie I love, didn't do that well, didn't make a ton of money or anything. It was well cast, well executed. But I think now it maybe doesn't even have to be the same sport, but this premise, Mr. Destiny. I think we need Mr. Destiny back. Jim Belushi, Michael Caine, Linda Hamilton. The movie still holds up. Now, I'm not knocking the old one. I can still watch that movie. Comes on cable now and again. But I think you could modernize it, update it, and I think it would still work and be successful.
So does he still hit the home run?
I don't know. Maybe I was thinking maybe you don't do baseball. Maybe it's a football story, or maybe it's a hockey story. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be baseball.
It's too hard. Make it something ridiculous. If you're going to redo it.
Cornhole. It's cornhole.
Cornhole. Make it for today's time.
Yeah, today's time, right? It's online poker. He's got pocket queens, but he folded. If he just had stayed in that hand.
Who do you put in the lead spot?
You know, it's a good question. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it. You know, I off the top of my head, I like Matt Damon because I'm a homer. But I do think like Matthew McConaughey could do it. I think that.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I think that maybe Ryan Gosling. I think Ryan Gosling could maybe pull something like that off.
Oh, we're going like Mr. Destiny, like, you know, $10,000 budget to like $50 million budget.
I think a good $35 million. You don't have to go crazy with it. And actually, I say bring back Michael Caine. You don't have to change that part. Just bring him back.
Could Kevin Smith direct it?
Sure. I'll allow it. Why not?
All right.
Better than Yoga Hosers or whatever that movie was. Like,
or the Walrus one.
Tusk. That's not a terrible movie. I thought it was well executed. High concept it's horror. So, you know, Kevin loved that stuff.
I did watch Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I did like
it. You know what? It's not terrible, but it's also not good. So it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to criticize them because I like seeing everybody back together again. So you give it some leeway. But, you know, it was poorly conceived. They kept talking about Mallrats 2, where they're going to build in, like, the fall of mall culture. And I want to see that, but after seeing the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not so sure.
Now, you saw the whole thing all the way through, right, at the end?
Yeah, I saw it.
Where Jay was standing there with, obviously, Harley, but Jay's actual daughter is in the movie.
Yeah.
So,
and he did it for Jay, basically. It was basically if Jay could stay clean, they would make the movie. Yeah, and so
he
it
has. For that reason. He has.
And he has, yeah.
I like the guy. He's a good guy.
He's been in a few other movies, and he's been funny and stuff. It's just, you know, I root for him, obviously. I just think the movie could have been better executed overall.
So when you saw the end of it, and they were standing outside the building, and Bob was there with the phone, was that Dante that was going into the store?
You know what? I asked the same question. I'm not sure. I want it to be. I hope it is, but it doesn't look exactly like him, so I'm not really sure.
He came back out of the store screaming and yelling about something, and I'm like, he forgot something. And I'm like, is that him?
I kind of like that I don't know for sure, but I took it as it was, or at least was supposed to be. So, yeah, I hope it was. That is, you know what? It's a funny thing because we've talked about this on my other pod there, Talking Flick. TalkingFlick.com. This idea that Kevin Smith had was way ahead of its time, where he had his movies sort of live in one universe, and mm-hmm. you can sort of commingle Mallrats with Clerks, with Jay and Silent Bob, and it kind of worked, right? Years later, Marvel would make billions and billions of dollars with the same philosophy. And Kevin Smith is a known comic guy. I don't know why we don't do more stuff with this across comic lines. It doesn't always have to be Batman and a DCEU or a Marvel universe. We can do this with the Jack Ryan series. We can build bigger universes and have them commingle and show up in each other's movies. And it makes it serialized in a way that's kind of entertaining. I think Hollywood needs to maybe take a look at that. I think I know they're trying here and there, and there's a lot of hits and misses, but there's room to grow here. And I think Kevin Smith was way ahead of his time on that.
There is lots of stuff out there that you can, lots of characters you can build. Like I said, Jack Ryan, I would love that. So speaking of an ending of another movie, I finally got to watch Endgame. Now, Endgame was very long.
It was long. Dear Mr. Fantasy.
Great opening. I mean, I did enjoy that. Right. I mean, I love me some traffic.
Did you know anything about it before you saw it?
No, I didn't read up on it. Nothing. I didn't. I just
wanted to ask the movie. I want to ask a question now. We've covered this on Talking Flick. You can go to realwatchability.com and read my article about it, my review. The 5-year jump, what was your initial reaction to that? Because I thought that was pretty bold. Given it a Marvel movie that's not known for that, I thought it was interesting.
My favorite part of that whole thing, the 5-year jump, was when they were talking about other movies with time in them.
Oh, yeah.
They were mentioning Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Anything with a time jump, Bill and Ted. Back to the Future, time jump. What I thought was really weird about
time heist. Movie is,
Yeah, exactly. Time Cop.
Time Cop. Oh, Time Cop. That's a remake. That's a reboot potential there.
So
yeah, I think I honestly, like, you know, I've had my criticisms of Marvel. If you read my blog, if you listen to me on Talking Flick, I have said Marvel doesn't take enough chances. Marvel is too much the same. It's something 20 something movies, and most of them are kind of just fine. And there's a couple that stand out, like The Winter Soldier. Now, when I got to Endgame, you know, my expectations were pretty middling. So for the most part, I did like Infinity War a decent amount. I thought that it was good enough that it paid off if you had stuck with them for the 10, 11 years, that the payoffs, the nerdgasms were there. The ending was there. The emotion was there. It was good enough. And I was pretty satisfied with it. It wasn't my number one movie that year, but it was like in the top five.
It was good. It was entertaining. I mean, I did love the point where Tony Stark had the Infinity Gauntlet on, his own version of it, and said,
"That was pretty cool.
I am Iron Man."
He was very instrumental in the whole thing, obviously. So he gets a lot of credit. You know, he still made the Dr. Dolittle movie that was awful, but still, he wanted that line in there. And then it was his choice, which I thought was really smart, to not talk when Pepper Potts and Spider-Man are there. He doesn't say anything. And I think that makes it more moving. And I think initially the screenwriters had him say stuff, and instead he just cut it out. And I like that for the guy who talks all the time, Tony Stark, to not say anything at the very end was very emotional.
And I love how they made fun of Brie Larson in the movie with the haircut too. That was kind of funny.
Oh yeah,
Rocket. You know, Bradley Cooper. I still can't believe it's Bradley Cooper as that voice. It doesn't sound.
He nailed it. You know what? That's like an Oscar performance for him. He's so good at Rocket. So he crushes it.
The ending, however, of the movie, the very, very ending of it, you always watch and see if there's any Easter eggs or anything in there. And there was none. So I waited and I played the entire.
There is something in there. There's something at the very, very end.
You can hear it. The clinking. The clinking.
That's the Iron Man landing. Yeah, that's the Iron Man landing, I think, is what that is. And I thought that was smart, too, because you don't need to tease the next movie. This is essentially the end of your phase, whatever phase it is. And you're moving on to something a little bit different, hopefully. And I think that it was all fitting. You know, I think it worked really, really well. So again, a win in terms of, like, you know, Marvel movies. Is it my favorite superhero movie or something? Not really, but I thought it was very satisfying.
It was good. It was up there as, I'd say, of all the Marvel movies that they've made, I'd say that was top 10 of those.
I put it in the top five. I'd say my top five.
It was very long, though.
It was long.
It was dragging a lot of spots.
I liked some of the parts where it dragged. I liked a lot. And then I thought some of the parts where they were trying to piece it together got a little bit wonky. But I always love seeing Roger Sterling, Tony's dad, when they go back in time. I like seeing some of the shit that they mess up during the original Avengers movie. They sort of pay homage to that crappy Thor movie, which was kind of interesting. It was good. And then even the Black Widow thing, when I first saw it, I did not see that coming. And I thought that was smart, too, because it was unexpected. And again, Marvel, for me, I always criticize for not having any consequences. And this one, obviously, there were major consequences.
Okay, weird or not, Mark Ruffalo's face on the Hulk.
Weird.
That was very weird. It was that, was it me or was the Hulk a wussy?
Well, if you saw Thor Ragnarok, I mean, it kind of fits with his arc. He's, you know, his arc got weird. I don't exactly know if they're wasting that character or messing it up. And not only was he wussy, he wasn't as smart as he should have been. He couldn't figure out the time travel thing. You know, Tony Stark figures it out in one night, and Bruce Banner was struggling with it. So that some of that stuff was worth criticizing. But again, I'm not, you know, I don't go to the mattresses for, like, the lore of comics and you can't change stuff or whatever. So,
oh, it didn't follow the comic book at all, because I remember when the Hulk got zapped in the comic books with extra gamma ray radiation, it turned him brown. That's when he became, like, Professor Hulk.
Professor Hulk, you mix the two things together. And I think that's what they were going for, except that Professor Hulk was super smart. And this Hulk wasn't all that smart.
No. So, an ending. Anybody wants to help us remake, reboot, recast any movies? Send us an email at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Anything else you want to add, Nick?
For recommendations, a couple quick ones, just some quick hitters. Netflix redid Unsolved Mysteries. No Robert Stack because he's unreplaceable, but there's no host. But they kept the musical score, which still creeps me the hell out. And it's good enough. You know what I mean? It's not amazing, but the first episode, that is a weird story, man. So check that out on Netflix. Still watching Perry Mason. Still watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO.
On the Unsolved Mysteries, I did watch that. And it was
the first one, right?
Yes. Wacky. I watched the whole thing.
Wacky. Oh, you watched the whole series? Wow, you're good.
I watched the whole series. There was one episode I could not watch because, believe it or not.
Is there aliens? Am I going to see some aliens?
It's the one from here.
Okay, good.
The one from the Berkshires. I could not stand the story. I could not stand the people.
That's going to be my favorite one. Few things entertain me more than people from my hometown on television. Or near, geographically, my hometown.
I have a recommendation. I know you didn't quite like the movie, but I watched it. It's on Prime, Knives Out. It's available. It's a great story. I'm trying to think of the movie Clue and try to figure out the story. It's filmed here in Massachusetts. So try Knives Out. Also, Chris Evans is in it.
He's great in it. I love his comic chops. I hope he does more comedy stuff.
Very good movie. I thought it was a fantastically laid out, written movie.
I liked it. I just didn't like it quite as much as everybody else. I think had I seen it right from the get-go, I sort of let the whole burn go and everybody was loving it, recommending it. I was making a ton of money. And I have my issues with Rian Johnson, the director, for ruining Luke Skywalker forever for me. So I went in with some baggage, but it was a smart concept, and I'm always for a good Agatha Christie-type mystery. This was funny, well-cast. Everybody had a good bit part. So I enjoyed it. I just didn't make my top 10 that year.
Well, anything else?
That's it for me, Rob.
Well, all I could say is, Nick, do you like apples?
How do you like them apples?
That's right.
But have a Celtics great night. Make the finals. Celtics are making the finals. I'm calling it. I'm calling my shot.
Baseball will be played on a Nintendo.
I'll watch it. I mean, it's better than Italian soccer. Then a hurricane came and devastation reigned. All right? Watch Hamilton. Watch it. Do yourself a favor. Educate yourself, please.
And he wasn't the 10th president because he's on a $10 bill, people.
He wasn't? I think he was. I think I penciled him in there.
All right, everybody. Good night. Peace.
All right. Peace out.